What a joy, what a privilege it is. What a great honor it is. What a great privilege it is to worship the Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice for us. This is Holy Week. Some people call it Holy Week, and beginning this Sunday and going through next Sunday is kind of a special seven-day period that for many people in the Christian church represents a time of special focus on what the Scriptures say about what Jesus did for us and how He died on the cross for us. And I've always called it Holy Week, or for a long time I have, and I know that it's during this week that especially I focus on and reading the story again, and what does it mean that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and rose again? What are the stories during that last week of His life? And there are many of them that are found in the four Gospels. What do they tell us about the meaning of Jesus going to the cross? I see this as a very special week of a time to remember, a time to kind of slow down and read again and hear again and listen to the story of Jesus and the sacrifice of His life for us and His blood that He shed on the cross. I hope that you'll have time this week, however you do it, whenever you do it, but you'll have time to slow down and connect with who Jesus is and just hear again the amazing story of a God who sent His only Son to die for our sins. We do have a service on Friday evening at 7 o'clock. We call it Good Friday service, and that service will be receiving communion. We're also going to focus on, during that service, not only Jesus knowing that He was going to the cross and bearing the sins of the world on the cross, but also that struggle between good and evil, between God and Satan, in that time of His passion and His death, and those days that Jesus laid dead in the tomb, and what was going on. And just want to encourage you, invite you to that time of worship, and if you're able to be a part of that. Today is what is called across the church Palm Sunday. Some people Triumphal Entry Sunday, and today we certainly want to celebrate, and we want our worship and our praise to be focused on saying thank you, God, for what You have done. It is a time of incredible excitement. The Palm Sunday was a day of incredible anticipation and large crowds, and they had already come in large crowds to celebrate the Passover in Jerusalem. But then this amazing event that takes place that we're going to read about today, the story of the miracle of the resurrection of Lazarus, just reaches right into the story of the triumphal entry. I think the story of Lazarus and the story of the triumphal entry just come together and in a beautiful way in this story. I want to invite you to turn to John chapter 11, and we're going to go to that text, and I'm going to read part of the story today. John chapter 11, it's kind of a long story, but I want to read part of it today. I'm going to read the first three verses, then we're going to jump on to verse 17 for a while, and then at verse 32. But this is an incredible story, and I just want to invite you for a time today to just listen to and look at and hear again this incredible story of the amazing miracle of Jesus of raising Lazarus from the dead. John chapter 11, verse 1 says, "Now a man named Lazarus was sick. He was from Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. This Mary, whose brother Lazarus now lay sick, was the same one who poured perfume on the Lord and wiped His feet with her hair. So the sister sent word to Jesus, 'Lord, the one You love is sick.'" And now if you look at verse 17, it says, "On his arrival, Jesus found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Bethany was less than 2 miles from Jerusalem, and many Jews had come to Martha and Mary to comfort them in the loss of their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went out to meet Him, but Mary stayed at home. 'Lord,' Martha said to Jesus, 'if You had been here, my brother would not have died. But I know that even now God will give you whatever you ask.' Jesus said to her, 'Your brother will rise again.' Martha answered, 'I know he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day.' Jesus said to her, 'I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in Me will live, even though he dies. And whoever lives and believes in Me will never die. Do you believe this?'" And then go to verse 32. It says, when Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and troubled. Where have you laid him? He asked. Come and see, Lord, they replied. Jesus wept. Then the Jews said, see how he loved him. But some of them said, could he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Jesus, once more deeply moved, came to the tomb. It was a cave with a stone laid across the entrance. Take away the stone, he said. But Lord, said Martha, the sister of the dead man, by this time there is a bad odor, for he has been there for 4 days. Then Jesus said, did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone. Then Jesus looked up and said, Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you would always hear me, and I said this for the benefit of the people standing here, that they may believe that you sent me. When he had said this, Jesus called out in a loud voice, Lazarus, come out. The dead man came out, his hands and feet wrapped with strips of linen and a cloth around his face. And Jesus said to them, take off the grave clothes and let him go. This truly to me is one of the most powerful stories in the New Testament. It's one of the most powerful miracles that Jesus ever performed. Some people might compare it in some ways to the resurrection of Jesus himself and say that this was the preparation of people's hearts for the resurrection of Jesus from the dead. It is absolutely incredible. There's so many things that we could look at in this story and think about from this great miracle this morning, but I want to mention about four things from this story that get my attention. The first one is this, the humanity of Jesus that we see in this story. We believe in our doctrine that Jesus was both fully man and fully God. We kind of have theological statements that try to summarize that. We believe that when Jesus came, he came absolutely full of the Father, full of divinity. He was fully God, but also that he was fully man. And he had every physical need, every emotion, everything that we experience in our humanity, we believe that Jesus experienced there. And this morning, I want to first start out and talk about this story and talk about that humanity of Jesus. I notice in this story that Jesus came and he was a very human person when he came to the scene of this death. Jesus was somewhere, we're told, at least 2 days away from this town of Bethany when he heard the news that Lazarus was sick. He may have been in Galilee. He may have been on the other side of Judea. We're not sure, but it does say that he made the trip to Judea to come to where Lazarus was. But we know, interesting about Jesus, that when he was told that Lazarus was sick, that what he did was he waited for 2 days before he went. And we would wonder, why would he do that? I mean, we kind of know because we know the end of the story, and he said it several times, that part of the whole story was that he wanted for people to see the glory of God. He waited so that people would know there was a great miracle from God. We know that. But when we think about the humanness of Jesus, we think he was two days away, and it would take 2 days to get here, but he waited there. We also know that something else that was going on during this time was a tension that was growing about Jesus. This is late in Jesus' ministry, obviously a week before he's arrested. The Pharisees are already out to get him. They have tried to trap Jesus. They have sent false witnesses to get Jesus to say something that's wrong. They have tried to get people to accuse Jesus of blasphemy. They have tried to destroy Jesus, and so far they have not been able to. But everybody knows by now that they're out to get Jesus. And here the call comes, the town of Bethany, 2 miles from Jerusalem, 2 miles from the direct and open conflict. And now the sisters say, Jesus, would you come and be with my brother? Now, we also know that the reaction of the disciples were to understand that. It says that when he heard this, Jesus said, this sickness will not end in death. No, it is for the God's glory, so that God's Son may be glorified through it. So Jesus says, now God is going to be seen in the midst of this. Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus. Yet, it says in verse 6, "Yet when he heard that Lazarus was sick, he stayed where he was two more days." Jesus knew what was going to happen, and he decided to stay two more days. This would seem to go against what we believe about the compassion of Jesus, but of course we know the end of the story. But there's something else about this. It says in the next verse, "Then he said to his disciples, 'Let us go back to Judea.' 'But Rabbi,' they said, 'a short while ago the Jews tried to stone you, and you are going back there?'" Jesus knew that to go back to Bethany is to go back for the last time to Jerusalem. He knew that by going back to where Mary and Martha and Lazarus was, he was going for the final call. He knew that it was going to culminate in his arrest and his trial and his beating and his crucifixion. Jesus knew that it was coming to the very end. And so he does leave 2 days later and he goes back to Jerusalem. They had called for Jesus. You can just see the kind of the story beneath the scene of the sisters and how they see it, and they don't understand. We know Jesus can heal Lazarus. They had seen Jesus heal all kinds of manners of diseases and problems, and yet they probably don't understand, well, why can't Jesus heal Lazarus? He's his friend. Some people say he could have been his best friend. Who knows? But Jesus was in their home often, and yet he delayed to go there. And so when he finally got there, they had questions. They didn't understand. They don't know why it is that Jesus has taken so long to come. And apparently, very soon after they sent word for Jesus, I mean, it would seem from the timing that very soon after they sent the messenger to find Jesus, Lazarus died. And as Jews, when they die, they're buried the same day or the next day by sundown. And so they would have been grieving now for 4 days, and they would have taken care of the body and placed it in the tomb. And then for 4 days now, they're still grieving. You kind of have a time period here of all the people that are coming to grieve with them and this extended time of grieving. Well, when Jesus finally gets there, he first speaks to Martha. Then in verse 32, he speaks to the second sister. And let me read verse 32 again. It says, "When Mary reached the place where Jesus was and saw him, she fell at his feet and said, 'Lord, if you had been here, my brother would have not died.'" I mean, we see the humanity of Mary here. Jesus, why did you take so long? Why didn't you come? If you just would have come, if you just would have spoken the word, if you just would have anything, Jesus, but you had the power to keep Lazarus from dying, but you didn't. We don't understand why. I do notice that she falls at his feet. That would have been the place from where she would have washed his feet with the ointment, the alabaster oil, and cleaned his feet before. She loved Jesus, but she didn't understand him. You know, we can love God and believe in God, but not always understand why and when and where and God's timing. This story has a lot of parts in it and places to it, but we see that in Mary and Martha. And then we have a response of Jesus, I believe, that helps us to understand his humanity, that he does understand who we are and where we're at. He understands life's troubles and life's journeys and life's problems. It says in that next verse, "When Jesus saw her weeping and the Jews who had come along with her also weeping, he was deeply moved in spirit and trouble." This word that's in the Greek, I understand, for her weeping is the word that means she was just out of control. She was just emotionally distraught. She was crying out and weeping. That's the word that the Greek uses both for her and for the mourners that were there with them. And so when finally Jesus gets there and Mary knows he's there and she goes out, she just totally loses it. Why? I think because of her connection with Jesus. She doesn't understand why. Why, Jesus, didn't you come? And yet she falls down at his feet. "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died." And she just pours out this emotion and sorrow which so many times can come when someone we love dies. But what do we see in this story about Jesus? Well, we see a response of Jesus who has great compassion. These are the words right here. He was deeply moved. You know, I think those four words are good words for us to file away somewhere in our hearts, somewhere in our faith, when we face times when we wonder if God hears where we're at and what we're going through and what our challenges are. It's good to be able to pull that out and say, Jesus was deeply moved. You know, Jesus is deeply moved by our hurts and our pains and our problems. Later on in the New Testament, we're told that He is touched with our infirmities. You know, somehow Jesus in His divinity, and it's easier for me to kind of think of Jesus as fully divine than it is to think of Jesus as fully human. But this story reminds me that He's just as human as you and I are. And if you have hurts and pains, I want you to know that He can understand those hurts and pains too. It says He was deeply moved. Somehow God is deeply moved by our pain. We don't think of God like that. We don't think of Jesus like that. But this story shows us that Jesus is capable of knowing and somehow carrying the emotional pain and difficult things that we have. Somehow Jesus connects to that. He understands it. And somehow we have to understand that He went to the cross to bear it, to bear all the pain of the world, the agony that pain brings, death, how heavy death is. Since Adam, every man has died. And somehow Jesus, when He went to the cross to conquer death, He had to take it with Him. He had to take this deep agony. We just have this little scratch the surface description there. He was deeply moved. And then two things it says, where have you laid Him? Verse 34, come and see, Lord, they replied. And then verse 35 says, Jesus wept. Of course, we know that is the shortest verse in the Bible. Jesus wept. We think about, what does it mean that Jesus wept? He didn't just have compassion for Mary and Martha. He didn't just acknowledge their pain, but from within this divine and human Jesus comes weeping. You realize that Jesus somehow wept for you and me. This represents when He went to the cross, all of mankind's suffering and pain and sorrow. What does it mean that Jesus wept? Certainly it means that He had deep emotions and He felt the pain of Mary and Martha. He was moved deeply. Once more, verse 38 says, Jesus once more deeply moved. Three times here. John tries to capture something about the inside of Jesus here that I think is an important part of the story. Jesus wept. Look how they loved Him. The writer, John, says, the crowd said to them and imagined. And so I think we have in this story a beautiful picture of the humanity of a caring Jesus. We also have in this story the wonder of a beautiful promise. Yes, He was a caring human Jesus, but He also made an incredible promise that He was able to keep. Back in verse 25, it says, I am the resurrection, Jesus said to her, and the life. He who believes in Me will live, even though he dies, and whoever lives and believes in Me will never die. And then He said, do you believe this? See, this is the promise that every single one of us have to come to the place of believing about Jesus. And Jesus said, if you believe this, if you believe that I am the resurrection and the life, if you believe that in your heart, then you also will have eternal life. John 3:16 says, and we know it so well, for God so loved the Son that He gave His only begotten, loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. You know how important believing is and faith is. And Jesus says it here, how important that faith is that you believe. Can you imagine the emotions of the sisters as Jesus is talking to Mary and then He walks away from Mary and says, well, where do they lay Him? You know, and she's not quite understood. She has seen that Jesus cares about her deeply. I would think that she would have seen Jesus weep. She would have seen how impacted He was by her sorrow and what had happened. But now Jesus says, well, where have you laid Him? And, well, He's in the tomb. And He starts there and right away says, wait a minute, Jesus, you can't go there. You can't go there. It's been too long, 4 days, the body stinketh. Jesus, that you can't do. So what does Jesus say to her? Just wait. And open your eyes. Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? And so Jesus made a promise. And He again affirms the promise. And then I notice one more thing Jesus does here is Jesus prays to the Father. Jesus said, "Did not I tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God?" And the next verse says, "So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked up and said, 'Father, I thank you that you have heard me. I knew that you always hear me.'" You have an opportunity. I don't know if you like to write in your Bible or you even note things like this, but this verse to me is really a powerful part of the whole story. He says, "Father, I thank you that you heard me, and I know that you always hear me." You know, that's the promise of Jesus about prayer. You know that God always hears your prayers. No matter what it is, the Father always hears your prayers. You may wonder sometimes, does God hear my prayer? Does God know where I'm at? Well, this verse just reminds me that God always, always, always hears our prayers. Jesus said, "I know that you always hear me." Jesus did not have to doubt that God the Father heard his prayer or knew what was going on. He knew. In the same way, we can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that God hears our prayers. No matter what your prayer is, no matter what your need is, God hears your prayer and you can trust him. And you have this beautiful prayer, "I know that you always hear me." And then finally this morning, as we think about this story, the mighty power of Jesus. I mean, this is just an incredible, you know that, it's just an incredible story. When I try to wrap my mind around the resurrection of Lazarus and how God can do this, it's just unbelievably incredible of a mighty, powerful God. This man had been dead for 4 days, and what does Jesus do? It's pretty simple what Jesus does. He speaks three words. "Lazarus, come forth." I mean, there were the sisters kind of trailing behind him. I imagine it that way. And here's all the people crying around and the disciples that are kind of grabbing on, "Jesus, what are you doing?" You know, I just kind of see it like this. And then you have all these people that are gathered around to mourn and all that. And here Jesus on his way and they're all kind of, "What is he up to? What in the world?" And three words in a loud voice, he says, "Lazarus, come out." I wonder, why did he use a loud voice? I mean, if he could raise him with a simple whisper, would that have been okay? But well, who was he talking to there? Was he talking to Lazarus? I mean, he was in the tomb around the corner maybe, and maybe he had to speak really loud for Lazarus to wake up. Nah, I doubt it. I imagine he could whisper and it would have done the job. But you know, who was he yelling at there? "Lazarus, wake up." I wonder, was he speaking so loudly so that the sisters behind him would be sure to hear and know what he said? I mean, he wanted to be clear. Mary and Martha knew what he was going to do. Or maybe it's for his disciples there. You know, "You guys watch, because in 6 days we're going to go through this again and you need to see this." And I mean, why did he raise his voice, I wonder? Would it be for all the crowd that was around him? Or maybe, I've even thought, was it Jesus saying something to the enemy right there, to Satan, and saying, "Right now I'm staking a claim. Satan, you better start shaking, because right now it starts. I have power over death. Lazarus, come forth." And then I think, finally, why did he yell? Why did he say it in a loud voice? I think he said it for us. I think he said it for me. You know, there's times when we wonder about what happens when we die. There's times when we all face questions. When people that we love are gone, when somebody steps into eternity that we care about, and we wonder and we ask questions. Well, Jesus' three words here should be a great thing for us to hear from the heart of God. When he said this, Jesus called in a loud voice, "Lazarus, come out." And oh, the power of the resurrection. The power of the resurrection. Well, of course, Lazarus came out. And they took the grave clothes off, and he started walking around and telling people what had happened. I mean, wouldn't that, how would you handle that? How would you like it if you went to the funeral already? And there was a viewing. And 4 days later, on your door. Oh, man, can you imagine what this town was like? Can you imagine what was going on? Can you imagine how excited people would be? Can you imagine the incredible atmosphere that had to take place? It says in verse 2 of the next paragraph, here a dinner was given in Jesus' honor. That's the next day. Boy, that had to be some dinner. I mean, that's right at the end of the story. It's like, okay, now you thought Martha worked hard on the dinner before. Just imagine what it would be like here. And then we go into the story of the triumphal entry. That's the context of all these people who are praising Jesus because they've seen the power of God. We see it on the other side. You know, we see it from history. We see it from the Bible. They saw it happening, and we look back and see it. You know, that same Jesus that raised Lazarus from the dead makes a promise to everyone, to you and I. He who believeth in me has everlasting life. We can be so sure of that. In the same way as we know that the Father hears our prayers and we know that Jesus understands what we go through, we can also be as excited and jubilant today that Jesus offers us eternal life. That's something for us to celebrate in the body of Christ, to celebrate in this church. Are you thankful today for the gift of eternal life? Would you stand with me?